This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. With me is Brother Yao, Hoke Glover III, and he's going to tell you who he is with a poem.
Banned books. In Africa, when an old man dies, it's a library burning. Hampate ba. Give a man a fish and he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Common proverb. Fall into the lake's mist. This September, cool. The air over and under a silver line, attached to a weight and a hook. Into water to find the bottom. Rest there a minute. Not far from here, my father on the edge, above the plane of the water, looking down and looking out on a bank where earth shows its guts, roots of trees, and the deep dark tone of what lies underneath. He's singing silence, fake worms, lures, hands arching to fingertips, threading, twisting, moving in early light. Did he know the November he died, his tackle box, his denim overalls, the small spray can catfish bait, the smell of dried spam rotting preserved, the shriveled worm pasted to a rusted hook? Did he understand the great metaphors when he taught me art of watching water, of pulling out the tangles in a line, of singing want with its subtle distinctions? When he taught me waiting, he did not wait. He did not teach. Messy man with dirt caked into the ovals of his nails, blood and guts smeared across his waist, cigarettes dangling out of his mouth, smoke rising, killing and dying, raising his voice without patience. Tone I took his hate. Then I was afraid. The ghost of his eyes. Thunder and impatience over tiny things. Watching a rod, a line bending, throwing rocks into the water, not paying attention. Did he know of the burned Egyptian libraries? Did he know himself as the sages prescribed? Man with bamboo, walking into the tall plants, trying to find a good spot. If man is a symbol, my father is a penny. He's brown, copper, and abundant, everywhere. He is use, used, and useless. Did he know that writing is not moment, dusk is not really black, human is not flesh, that we are really impossible, and believe in less? I banned his books in grief. My God, I've forgotten those mornings like nights, those nights like mornings.
Hoke Glover, Brother Yao, I'm just stunned. I'm just stunned with the power of that poem. What do you think themes are in your work?
Inheritance, obviously, is a lot about family. And so there are poems about my mother and poems about my father, and just trying to uncover the legacy of migrators who raised you in the suburbs and looking at them and the way they moved in the day and the way history was in all
such
of the things in the house.
Frank, honest poems. You know, the father in literature is the greatest symbol in literature. I mean, and I think in your own work, what does the father mean in your own work?
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about Stanley Plumley, and the father in his work, I think, was one of the things that I really gravitated to as I was studying with him, you know. In my work, you know, the father's a shadowy character. You know, he's mystery. You know, he's, I guess, the other that you must know, the secret in plain view. Worthy of being decoded.
Oh, what a good answer. What a good answer. I want to tell them who you are. You are the founder of Caribou Books, which was a very famous bookstore until about 2008.
Yes, 2008.
And that was like 20 years, a small bookstore that made history. Why?
Yeah, we started, again, family is at the core of my Caribou experience. My wife and I, shortly after we got married and our daughter was born, we began the business to just provide for our family. So that's the root.
Well, but can one make a living with a bookstore?
We did. For
today?
A couple of years.
Yeah.
For a couple of
and
years.
And I heard we're having a resurgence of bookstores now. The mighty small independent bookstores rising again. But you were one of the progenitors. And thank you for that. Where was it located?
We actually had six stores at our heyday. So Prince George's Plaza, Landover Mall, Pentagon City, Security Square,
wow.
Iverson.
That is an empire.
Bowie Town Center. Yeah.
Did you have readings?
We hosted at our peak about 400 events a year. It was a lot.
Brother Yao, give us some poetry.
My father whispers leaving Waynesboro, Georgia. Those big houses on Main Street became a whiskey whose sight we drank until drunk. Forgetting crept in like nightfall. Way home, winding through the straight streets. Leaving required no energy, not even goodbye. Every Sunday, we wished Jesus close, working against that heat, waving over our mother's face like that. Printed fan and heavy hearse, whose long black back meant more than death. Somebody was gone, couldn't stay. Bus stations just down the road. I walk that way every day, every day.
Whisked Jesus close, listen to those S's. You're a poet. Brother Yao is a real poet. Let's have more.
And this is Cohen, number 34. Johnny wrote a book for slaves to help them get free. But there's laws against slaves reading. Most slaves can't read. How many books did Johnny sell?
Books are at your heart, aren't they? So as a little kid, were you into books?
Yeah, my mother raised us in the library. New Carrollton Library. Yeah.
I know it well.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time.
I wonder if they know that. You should tell them that. That's a great poem. I was raised in the New Carrollton Library.
I was.
And now you're a poet and a teacher of poetry. I love it. Let's have another. I can't get enough of you. Okay. We're at the Library of Congress with Brother Yao Hope Glover III. And I want to tell you, I'm in heaven.
Love song. Before I was born and born to an ambition, my father dreamed my mother as the woman he would one day love. Not knowing her face or the innocence she cultivated like a small cup of tea on a large round table in the house of my grandparents. My grandfather's anger rattled the table. He slammed his hand down, and my mother sipped calmly from the chipped teacup. There was a place near the rim where she ran her tongue across it. The tiny waves. I was a dream then. We all are dreams. Nothing is impossible, they would tell me. We are all like the land, boundless and deep, stretching into horizons, beautiful and vast. When I am singing their song, even now, under the gentle fires of a calm life, I think of their love, its shape like clouds covering a moon at night. Sometimes you can see through them, the moon there shining bright, a strange flower in the sky.
Hoke, Brother Yao, why aren't you better known? Why aren't you known in every household? This is really good stuff. I don't think you're pushing yourself enough. This is incredible stuff.
Well, post-Caribou, I went to the underground. So a bankruptcy is hard, you know, and especially one where you believe in books and believe in an African-American community. So I've been underground.
It took a lot out of you.
Yeah.
But when you can come up with small cup of tea on a large round table, and how she touched with her tongue the rib of that chipped cup, and you weren't even born yet, and you imagine that, that's poetry.
Well, that's thank you.
Can you inspire the young people at Bowie State where you teach? Can you give them what you've got? How do you do it?
Yeah, we have some really good stuff at Bowie State.
And is it,
we have a great
writing?
Team. Rion Scott, who's really gotten a lot of, you know, he taught at Bowie for 10 years. So it's one of the few HBCUs in the country where you can study creative writing. And with Monifa Love, Janice Williamson, Rion, and myself, we really provide a great environment for an African-American student to come to a HBCU and learn about, you know.
So how many are you there in that pod?
There are four of us.
Four of you.
Well, actually, I'm counting Rion. I'm so sad that he left. He's over at Maryland now, but I'm counting Rion, so three of us now.
Well, what do you teach?
I mean, I teach a majority of a HBCU load is a comp, but I do teach poetry classes. I have a few poetry classes.
And what do you see happening in the classroom these days?
I mean, my students are brilliant and beautiful, and we've developed over the years, I think the main thing is in the same way I built the business, you know, I built a method where we focus a lot on metaphors. Like I teach students how to write metaphors. So we have a series of exercises just like scales where you have to write 100 metaphors and focus 20 of them on each one of the senses. So sight, taste, touch. So we do images, similes, and metaphors. That's the way we teach. And any student can learn and increase their intimacy with language by simply focusing on our method.
Give me one metaphor for smelling, this sense of smell.
Smell's always hard, you know? Okay. I mean, in one of my poems, you know, I have, you know, she was cooking spinach and garlic, the smell of a house that moves past its past. So, you know,
Never be able to match that metaphor, I'll tell you right now.
But smell is hard. You know, whenever you ask smell, it's like my heart beats a little bit fast. I'm like, smell, that's the hardest one, but it's so connected to memory. You know, that what we know about the sense of smell is that to be able to trigger that in a poem.
Love that exercise. Let us have more of Brother Yao on the page. This is The Poet and the Poem, and we are at the Library of Congress.
My father rides his horses into the distance. What now, she asks, and slams the door. Violence hidden, and the sex underneath that. Walk across the room and cry a little, but don't let nobody see it. Both of them like opposites and ideas, with flesh pasted onto skeletons. Then the dust comes, then the speeches, the long rants and heads, fights that have no words, the dead people who could not rest, the sun going down. The old streets of the city where once there were horses, a man singing ice, milk, butter, bread, what it's all about. He goes outside and talks to the man in the always winter, the cold heated by his breath. He whispers and the white smoke rises. He sings the only song he knows. He will not go back into the house. He buys a horse who is too old to run, grabs the rope and walks him down the street into the night, and the cold swallows him.
Were you born in an area that was rural?
I was not.
Because you have a lot of rural poetry, the fishing, the horses, and I know the area where you were born, so where does that come from?
And my father was born in a small town called Waynesboro, Georgia. And the other thing is that, you know, when my father died, which is just sort of pivotal, it's right before I went to grad school, in his house, you know, he loved horses. So he had paintings of horses. And then he had a whiskey bottle that had a horse head on it. And so when I speak of my father's horses, you know, part of what I'm going to is processing the image of the man and the memory of the man that came from cleaning his house and looking at his horses. And so I always return to those horses because, you know, they speak to the power and who he is.
Did he ever read your poetry or acknowledge?
I was a very young poet then. So that's 90, passing 94. So I hadn't even entered grad school. So he heard some of the poetry that I spit out. But it took a while before, you know, I was a very different poet then. Yeah.
Did he know who his son was? Do you think? Did he know who you were?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I mean.
Really?
Yeah, he did. And I mean, he taught me to fish, you know, which is what Banned Books is about. So his great metaphor, you know, and I mean, it's one of my great metaphors is fishing. Mm. You know, a tiny line thrown underneath. The absence of vision, the sense of touch, and the communication with the unknown. And then, you know, if you do it well, you eat.
Is that a poem?
That's not a poem.
It's a poem right now. That is a damn poem. Yao, Brother Yao, talk to us.
Okay.
Give us something we can remember.
And this is Law. Growing up, there were always two laws. My mother, the greater, the greatest, who made enemies, if necessary, out of the trash man or the paper boy. Queen without court and details, command so precise you could not follow if you were not one of her students. If you did not know her nobility, you might think she was crazy in her house dress, standing in the driveway, shutting down football games, or calling the police, or the government, the inspector, all of them. A great law made in heaven, not by God himself, but one of his angels, handed down to earth through a rope in the sky, shipped to Nashville by airmail, and then given as a gift on her birthday to my grandmother by the Orishas themselves, disguised as vagabonds, door-to-door merchants, like Elijah Muhammad and Daddy Grace before they became men with wings and symbols. And there was the second law, which came from heaven too, a white heaven, like all heavens, I suppose, with angels' wings white, large and frightening, and white sheets like laundry day blowing in the wind, even the tiles in the place white, and of course the people, southern and white, with talk and gentility and a surface kindness and hospitality which would make you think there never was a South or slave or hatred. And the great talks of God who fed men with a few fish, who made man and woman, who blessed America with Christianity and Ronald Reagan, and gave birth to tiny heavens all across America where the gospel was followed like strange black men in white neighborhoods. This was 1975, and people were angry and running or slowing down from running or trying to figure out why people were running. And the world was glass then, as the world is glass now. But then people walked with that glass like it was their mother's crystal, like she had told them, you better be careful and you better not break it. Like I said, there were two great laws, the greater my mother and the lesser made of missionaries and Bibles and hellfire. And with these two laws, there were two tongues, one the lesser and one the greater, and two musics and two beauties and two clothes and two friends, two of everything you can imagine, simple and big as an ark, where we walked towards the ship's belly to roar in the darkness, to find ourselves, to be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all I can say. Your mother, her discipline, the rules, the law, that made something good in you.
Difficult, but it did.
Yep, form. Yeah. Gave you form. Yeah, and difficult. Now the form's on the page. Wow. I want to hear more. Was that hard to write? I mean, you write long poems sometimes.
I do.
2-3 pages. I mean, do they just, how long does it take for you to revise it? Or do you start with fragments that you put them together? Or does it come out of you like a silver ribbon?
I think, you know, there's a way where the practice of writing poetry for me is so ingrained in to like the way that I live that the consciousness that a lot of people may connect with how they're writing a poem, it escapes me because it's a practice. And so, you know, I've been practicing Tai Chi every day for maybe the last 8 years and practicing for 14 years. And it's a similar experience in the sense that the amount of attention that's demanded when you are practicing the art, for me, escapes the memory. So the idea of writing and having a memory of how it works is, you know, I could do that, but I try and focus my attention on that. So I have notes, I write, I go, you know, I return, but I practice poetry.
I get it.
Yeah.
When you said Tai Chi, I get it. Both forms, all the forms of Tai Chi?
I practice Chen style, which I learned in Wuhan, the city that has
Chen
the virus
style.
Now.
Chen style. That's right.
And then I practice Yang style before I practice Chen style.
I never could get through the first form.
Of Yang?
I did it year after year, but I still do that first form. Oh, no wonder. So it's in your blood. It's all in your blood. Tai Chi and poetry is just consciousness.
When I teach my students, that's we try to bring the idea of human consciousness to the class and stress the way in which a poet can place that consciousness in words.
They're going to remember you like you remember Stanley Plumlee, who influenced you so much in your graduate work. Former poet laureate of Maryland, great Keats scholar. And I think you were his pet, teacher's pet, because he never answered anybody else's emails.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that strikes me well.
Let's have more Brother Yao because we want it.
Okay. And Valentine's Day. There's no such thing as a white girl. Race, that brick made by men, built no temples. We know the world was never white. We know it's a construct, an idea, a sticky substance on rat traps, like glue. Once my mother put them out and the hairs were stuck to it. A rat is an animal we're not supposed to feel sorry for, but I did. Watching it squirm as I slipped it into a bag from the grocery store while my mother shrieked, she who had done the deed. There's no such thing as a black boy. There's politics and Black History Month. A man in uniform whose back is straight like the finger of my son pointing to the sky. Look, no, look. That was then and this now. What are roses? What was her name? I liked her and took $2 to school. Licked 25 envelopes shut. Be mine forever. The heart's candy, dusty chalk. My daddy brought my mama a large red encased plastic heart, the size of it. Each candy was a mystery. What was in the center? There's no such thing as love. People believe what they want. I know better now. Race is an idea, but a man possessed with it converts it to instinct. Them lions look trained, but they're still animals. It's not about love. And did she love me or love me not? It was Daisy Duke and Farrah Fawcett on TV. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and little black boys finally immigrating into America by way of integration, by way of the bus ride to the other side of town. There's Lady Liberty staring above us, the ocean, while we stand up next to tiny desk and star-spangled banner, tired, poor, and weak across the sea where slave ships turn to chalkboard mist. We hold hands. She says, be mine, be mine. And our eyes roll back in our heads. did she love me or love me not?
That's Brother Yao. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and we're at the Library of Congress, and it's enough to break your heart. It's enough to break your heart.
Code. The Coens begin. Some of the slaves grew depressed over their condition. They got under before they got over. Master's therapists who had studied the great theories of the human spirit explained first that God would straighten things out, but only if they worked hard at it. First God, God first, then onto the philosophies of great men, many who believed a black was worthy of slavery. He explained the ways one must approach a predicament, the right frame of mind. Whatever you do, don't run away. You can't run away from your problems. You must stay in the difficult position and deal with them. There is no freedom in running away.
Is this part of a new manuscript?
It is.
And what is that title?
One Shoe Marching Towards Heaven.
Fabulous. Who's going to publish it, do we know?
Africa World Press.
It's already accepted?
It is. Thief said, "It is easier to blame yourself than require justice. I gamble on this. Justify the steel frame by the metal ored from the earth. I worship heaven as the place where they will forget what happened. I am no more evil than them, for what difference does it make if you do not believe?"
Let us have a final poem.
All right, so this is Clouds. Coiled around the earth, silent mothers who hear their children say terrible things and wonder if all will be all right. Smoke with the children of fire, sometimes pregnant with rain or flat and stretched like the words of a lover who will not say, "I love you." I think about the clouds when I am tired. I say things I don't mean. My anger, thunder, day, dark and blue. Forgive me for having to breathe the dusk each day into my lungs or singing along with the radio out of tune. I am a man trying hard not to disappear, trying hard to stay just above the world.
The voice of Brother Yao, Hoke Glover III. And this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The series is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Rivada Foundation of the Logan family and the Synaptic Fund. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.